This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah, so I once heard a story about a girl named Lucky. And when Britney is in the studio, allegedly, she has two signals. If she tells her bodyguard that she needs to use the restroom, that means she's never coming back.
Okay.
Once she leaves, she's gone. And wait, it's actually the one signal. And the response of the producer is to then take the consonants and vowels that were recorded and assemble them into the lyrics.
Stop this.
That could be a fairy tale. Not fairy tale.
That's so much work.
Tragedy?
Yeah, it's more of a tragedy.
However, she's getting paid.
Yes. Sometimes I did this one bit where I needed to use her. It was her a cappella. And I heard so many things I've never heard before. And like in, I think, Slave for You or Toxic or something like that. But like there's. Have you ever heard these?
No, but where the probably sound pops or. Are you talking about a produced file where it's supposed to be smooth and glossy or her live shows? Ooh.
A produced file.
Got it.
But it's just like the things that you would never hear. It's like stems behind stems. And it's her just going like, just panting a bit.
That sounded just like her.
Yeah, thank you so much. I've been working on my Britney impression for quite some time.
Wait, I have one more question.
Yep.
Why were you using those files?
I did a bit for World of Dance years ago. Mm. And it was like I faked out that I had Blake McGrath choreographed like a girly piece for me. And so I started with that and then did a fake out to where I used Britney Spears' samples and it being like, the one where she's like, it just feels good. Like,
what was it?
Don't make me do it again. It just feels good.
You had to.
I really had to. But it was really, it was funny and it was fun to make and edit. I like edited it on Premiere and then performed it the next day. It was crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Also, girly pieces are a beast of their own.
Oh, yeah. It's not a podcast about heels, although it should be. It's a tangential advice podcast that we're going to do our best. The person you've been hearing has also been me, but also been Allison Stoner.
Surprise!
Surprise! Welcome to my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. We met in the hotel lobby. Did you know that?
As long as we clarified that it wasn't the room.
That was part two. Amanda introduced us because she said that we would appreciate each other's diction, I think.
Yes.
Or her vocabulary.
And
or
I believe
like
the first conversation included nebulous or esoteric.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so very excited. I love everything you're doing and I want to get so deep into it. But at first, we have to learn a little bit more about you.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to start with a game called Bursts of Firsts.
Okay, first thing you need to learn about me is my anxiety.
Okay, you can take it slow.
Okay, great. No timers necessary.
No timers necessary. It's one round of maybe rapid fire, maybe slow and down.
Yep.
Everything.
Slow burn.
Slow burn.
Allison.
Slow burn of firsts.
I want to be thoughtful and contemplative.
And that's so you.
It
that's
is.
That's so on brand. Maybe I should find like some really like chimey music instead of the music that I normally use.
Can we be like meditative?
Oh, for sure.
Great.
Let me just.
The fact that I prefaced meditative with like is.
Okay. We might need to cut a little bit of this buffering time for me to find.
I'll clear my throat then while we have a moment. And you know what? I didn't do my vocal warm-ups.
I love that you clearing your throat, it still looks like you were like sipping high tea. Like your hand was like in this perfect position.
We British in here. I got the dog on my right, and he ain't even mine.
That's my favorite song. Okay, I'm just going to type in meditation in this royalty-free Japanese spa. That sounds good, right? Or non-rhythmic drone sorrow.
Sorrow is not the vibe we're going for.
Okay, non-rhythmic drone's tension.
Ooh. Maybe for the right story moment.
Is this a vibe or...
It's a vibe. It's not the vibe.
Okay, Japanese spa it is.
Yeah, take us away.
A little too guitar heavy.
Is that...
Hate that?
Maybe this should be a playlisting podcast.
Of us just saying...
Would you rather Japanese spa tension or Japanese spa sorrow?
Always sorrow. I default sorrow. This
Are
is
you
kinda
melancholic?
Nice. I'm super empathetic in a way that I can be anything.
Wow.
It's... Oh my God, I want to talk about something.
Let's talk about it. Get rid of that music. I need to be able to hear you and feel
yes,
you.
Before we jump into any game, I did something yesterday, which is I was like gonna meditate because I had 20 extra minutes. What?
I love where this is going.
Okay, I know. I feel like I'm just gonna like fuck the format and just talk, which is great.
Word vomit.
Here it goes. So have you ever made up your own meditation or like made up your own mental game?
Yes.
Okay. So yesterday I got to dinner 20 minutes early and I found this song that was so beautiful. It was a cover of something. It was in a playlist called Indie Covers on Spotify. Mm-hmm. It's the best. And it had like, let me see if you can find it, because every four counts, the beat would like, it would just be like shroom. 2, 3, 4, shroom. And on every new fourth count, I would think of a new memory. And the whole thing, I was like, let me do it for gratitude. So I was like, for every time, like every half of an eight count, I would think fully as much as I could about one thing that made me feel alive. Mm-hmm. And then I was getting worried that I couldn't think of more. I was like, oh no, what if on this next beat, I can't think of another one? Mm-hmm. But then like your brain jumps to it. It's kind of like a weird improv exercise.
Yeah.
And it just kept on happening. And it would take me into directions I didn't even remember. But like that deep down in my subconscious, like this was momentous enough to remember and to recall so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that word association, and instead of playing to the top of your intelligence with an improv game, it's the top of your intuition.
Yes. Right? Yeah, like whenever you felt the most. And then I remember by the end of it, because I don't know how much you cry or how much you like to cry.
Let's go here. Okay.
But like for me, it's almost
daily.
Like, yes, on the hour, every hour. Yeah. Like it feels like for me being like super... like an empath, it feels like I need to schedule my cries or else I can't live.
Yes.
Like I have to get it out. I have to cleanse. I feel so much better after crying. I remember dating a guy and I was like, I have to go because I have to go cry. And he was like, did I do something wrong? And like, he didn't not do something wrong, but it wasn't for him. It was so much more like, I have to cry and I don't really know why. I just know that I need to do it. So like, I'm going to find my materials. I'm going to watch This Is Us. I'm going to get to where I need to go so that I can just like, release
and almost ritualize it. I try in the mornings to give myself space to write, meditate, and read, and sort of follow that impulse of the topic that seems most appealing at the moment, or the kind of release that I've needed but have been so busy I haven't really allowed myself to take. And then it brings you back to that equilibrium, and you're able to approach the day with a little more clarity.
Yeah,
I feel.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, stuffing things down, like what has that ever gotten us?
Truly
nothing.
Except
for a larger waistline.
Yeah, no. It's the worst. What have you done in terms of like making up your own mental game or making up your own meditations?
Yeah, I absolutely love your idea of gratitude on the four count.
Yeah.
Four count gratitude.
Four count gratitude.
That's beautiful.
That's a fun one. I'm going to play the song after this so you can hear it.
For branding.
Yes, of course. Yeah. You get all of it.
No, I only need everything. Five. You can make the content. You can distribute it. But I have a little bit of the IP. Okay. Great. We're clear. Let's see. I've actually been dabbling with Muji. Are you familiar with Muji?
No, please tell me.
M-O-O-J-I. So his teachings are actually about going beyond concept, going beyond mind, and entering that space of true witness. So he'll talk about how even our words, our concepts, they all try to create form out of what is inherently formless. How can we return to allowing ourselves to be formless, to, you know, go back to the beginning or the source or whatever your vocabulary warrants. But I have been allowing myself to step beyond self. And that is, it's beyond words. It truly is like the reset that you didn't even know was possible. And then it also allows me to become really healthfully non-attached to everything and everyone in life. So whether it's a good day or a bad day, things begin to just appear and flow through me and not flow to me and then like get stuck inside my body.
Yeah.
So that's been where my meditations are leaning right now, because I'm that person who's like, if you bring the cosmos into it, if you bring anything that's scientific and beyond my current capacity, I'm like, let's expand, challenge me, you know? But of course, the irony is Muji's like, this is not a challenge. Like,
allow,
yield, embrace, just be.
Yeah.
But for me, that's obviously like being super cognitively.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so difficult. What's like the first step in getting into that direction?
You better YouTube search that Muji meditation.
Like, when you said Muji, I was like, it just sounds like a Japanese, like, little luggage brand.
No.
Like, you know, what? There's one that's like that.
Mochi.
Is that? No, that's the Yum Yums.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But
there's something like, is it? Oh, Huji is the camera app. Have you ever used that? And then
no.
That's a good one. H-U-J-I. It's like, okay, all my Insta stories.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have an app for your stories?
It's a lot. And I realize I shouldn't have it.
No.
I just said.
Wait, remove the shouldn't for a second.
You're right.
And
don't
let
shit
me
on
ask,
yourself.
Do you enjoy it?
Oh, I love it.
Then why not express yourself?
Yeah, through a filter.
Well,
it's the best filter.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It's just like, it looks like a camera. Like, it, like, it's like a film camera, but it really, it contrasts it and it adds like a lot of orange in there. It just makes everything look better.
Do you like, what, how do you feel when you watch it? Does it take on a, like, a nostalgic, cinematic?
It would
quality?
Be more cinematic than nostalgic, but I think it just looks like funky. It kind of like blurs the outsides too.
Okay.
It's a fun time.
Does it feel like your insides?
Yes, all my insides feel blurred on the outside.
Great. Then you found your filter.
Aww.
Let's play a game called Find Your Filter.
Find Your Filter. Here's that song. I want to play it for you a little bit. So you can, every fourth beat, ready? You'll hear it when it's like. Because it has it like, ooh, Bennett. This part.
Wow.
That's nice. You just, it's called Youth by Hoax, H-A-U-X. And it's so nice, especially this instrumental part. It's like every four counts, think of a new thing that you're like glad has happened to you.
Wow.
And by the end of it, I was like bawling tears. Also, you know, what is it called when you're pumping a tire and you have like that meter? You know?
Like, oh, right. You know. The gauge? Tire pressure gauge?
Sure. That sounds about right. I haven't ridden a bike in decades.
I'm surprised I pulled that one out of my memory.
But you know when you're pumping it and it's going like pretty fast until it starts to get fully pumped and then it slows down and it's kind of like, we're full. So that's how it was going through. I started chronologically at first. I was starting with gratitude, and then I was like, how fun would it be if I started from like the first memory I ever had? It started to be crazy. And I was like, oh, I didn't remember a lot from when I was really young. But then the tire gauge pressure thing would like go quickly and then it would stop at something that I didn't know I needed to pay more attention to.
Wow.
So like my first boyfriend, like the pain that was coming through like my 15 to 19 year old self, all the trauma, all the stories I made about myself, how I wasn't good enough because like what he cheated on me, he broke up with me, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, I didn't realize I was still hurting from this.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I played the victim story so much with my like parents' divorce. But then I was like, oh, a lot of it's not the divorce. A lot of it is my first love, like not being returned to me.
Mm.
And so the tire gauge was stopped and it was like, okay, spend some time here.
Breathe gratitude into it.
Right. And just go, what did you learn? This was still feeling. But at the end of it, good, bad, or otherwise, it was still feeling. And that's all that matters in like this flesh world. You know, like whatever happens before and after we die, whatever happens in alternate universes, right now, all we can control is our feelings.
We're in the first 7 minutes of this podcast, by the way, and you just said alternate universes. I am so down.
Welcome to Just a Tip.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to turn this into a therapy session.
Oh, I would love to.
Great, let's do it.
I missed last week.
Okay, perfect. have you noticed now that you are aware of that memory in a new way, did that have implications for how you reacted to other relationships thereafter?
I'm sure. I definitely think it stemmed from my past hurt. I feel like, I mean, this is in like every self-help book, but you can lead from hurt or from heart or like lead from love or fear. And I think I've been living in fear for almost my entire life because like, I was really shy as a kid. And then when I started dancing, I kind of like opened up. And then I just got like right when I opened up, I got so hurt. And it's like, oh, when you open up, you are risking getting much more hurt. It's like almost like falling in love or developing a relationship is climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
And at the very top of the mountain, the apex is like the pinnacle of love, or it's, you know, like the greatest feeling you could ever feel. It's the one you know type of love. But the higher you go, the farther you can fall. So I feel like since I got so hurt when I was that young, I was like, oh, I'm never going to do that again. And then I've just been like coasting on these like smaller hills instead of, you know, making it to the top.
Right. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, no risk, no reward. And so I haven't really risked because I have learned, I've had that reward and I've had the fall from grace. And it's like, is it worth it? It really depends on the person, on your dynamic. And I think like in my past, dynamics maybe weren't right at the time or maybe the person wasn't right. It's hard to know. But then again, on the other side, it's like what was right is right for that time because you attract what you need in that moment to learn whatever lesson or to like work on a specific concept that you haven't mastered yet. And then once you get through that, then you graduate to the next tier and then you get a bunch of new opportunities slash crises, different crises, just different things because you've now been on a different plane that you haven't been before. So like life gets harder because you get stronger, you know?
Interesting.
Like, our problems now are so much harder than our problems when we were 15.
Sure.
But that's because we're so
more
much...
more complicated.
Yeah.
More complex.
Yes.
This reminds me, because you said it's tangential, right?
All
right, I'm going to take us in a new direction.
Seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Are you ready for Ken Wilber?
Okay.
Do you know him?
I don't.
Okay. So he has a concept I'm sure a lot of other philosophers and scholars have also proffered this. It's the concept of transcend and include. So things become increasingly complex, right, in the natural order of the universe. Like we are becoming more and more aware just through consciousness alone, like just how layered and multidimensional reality is and whatnot. But in so doing, we can't neglect the earlier forms of ourselves. Just like when you learn how to walk, you haven't forgotten how to crawl. You've just now transcended, but you transcend and include. So there's the opposite pairing as well. And I'm going to forget one of them, but one component is dissolution or sort of letting go of that which will not serve the next level. So when you were speaking, I was hearing, okay, you're continuing to mature and transcend and you're able to include that which brings you closer to wholeness and will help you navigate, you know, lessons from here on out. But then you're also able to sort of transform whatever needed healing or to be let go of, disposed of, so that you can ascend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to get too geeky.
I mean, please. This is my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing you're talking about. I feel like I sometimes struggle with that part of letting go, though, because through that meditation, I would see it from the other person's perspective. Like, I put myself into other people's shoes so much being an empath that, like,
relatable.
I feel so much and it's like so exhausting. But it's really great because I feel like it's like we're hyper aware of other people's everything, and like we take on their energy. And so if someone is having a bad day, like I'm going to do my best to make them feel better, but I'm going to also feel their sorrow and I'm going to carry it with them.
Well, why do you feel like you have to change their state of being? What if they're learning a lesson in that space?
Yeah, it's hard to know if people, like where people are at with that, because maybe some people want to stay kind of in that realm.
It might be a really important part of their process. I'm just thinking if I were to keep bringing you joy and then you had a lesson to learn about grieving, then I would actually be contaminating your process or limiting your growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. And I've never really thought about that ever.
Well, that's... I guess I'm thinking of my family dynamic. It was very codependent. And so it was like, how can I reach out and fill your emotional void for you? But I was limiting their development, as well as like, that's for me in my situation, it was a false version of love and caring because it was operating from neediness on both sides as opposed to wholeness. And then that like, you know, extension of an overflowing cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if everyone thought that way. I think it would, the world would be a better place.
Well, I think maybe we'd allow people to be where they are and we'd learn how to hold space better.
Yeah.
In every emotional nuance, as opposed to thinking that life is just about the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Let's just keep going on tangents. this is so nice. I've never been able to just flow stream of consciousness.
No, me neither. I'm having a blast.
Great, same. But that's something I've never understood. And it could be a little bit of my church background that was like, you know, don't pursue happiness. It's fleeting. It's momentary. But culture and society, like that's everyone's credo. Sometimes seems like it's, you know, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. And in my head, I'm thinking, wait. The most beautiful and meaningful times in my life have included far more emotions than just happiness.
Yeah.
And of course, if you don't know, you know, can't know light without the dark, blah, blah, blah. There's that side. But, you know, why do we really believe that purpose is just happy? Or is it, again, I return to the word wholeness, the full, all-embracing, inclusive state of being where we're able to tap into all of it, acknowledge all of it, and accept all of it and not judge it or condemn it.
Yeah, that's the tough part that being in therapy has been such a lifesaver. I mean, like, truly, that's what it's for,
totally.
To save lives.
Yeah.
But, like, the holding space piece that you mentioned, like, took me forever to realize, especially, you know, when you have different groups of friends, and if somebody is, say that you have a friend named Sally, and, like, she's a know-it-all, and she doesn't like to be told what to do or, like, any advice, but, like, when she comes to you with a problem, you can't say anything aside from hold space from her. Like, having friends like that has taught me just to, like, there's an opportunity for you to be there for someone without giving advice.
Yeah.
And that's the holding space part that took me forever to learn. And it's so important.
Yeah.
Because that offers them space for them to learn whatever they're going through.
Yeah.
Versus having
connect
Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because I think of even, like, when we're... I was going to say when we're taking dance classes, but that's been years.
The last class we took together was a breathwork class. Do you remember? Yeah.
Wait, where was that? At the
years
Den?
Ago. I think so. There was a guy there in the front, and he had like a big palm leaf.
wait, did we do? We did.
We
this.
Did a breathwork class.
It might be time for another one.
I would love to, because I think I'm in a much better space to understand that now. Like working so much with breath in therapy and like meditating so much.
Yeah.
I don't think I could have gotten there. And you were with another friend, and you guys were like beaming at the end. And you're like, this was incredible. Yes. I felt this and this and this. And I was like, it's so funny. If my therapist heard me right now, she'd be like, this is so you. Because I'm like, I wish I would have felt what you felt.
Of course.
I wish I did better in this.
No,
thing.
Totally. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Okay, so one step backward. If we were in a dance class, mm-hmm. sometimes when I'm learning choreography and I'm watching the rest of the class go to the next move, if I don't ever pause and figure out how to connect those two phrases, then I will always have that hiccup and I will have to look around in class forever to figure out what the next move is.
Yeah.
So taking that time, I'm going one step further back now even, to allow someone to pause and connect dots for themselves so that they don't have to rely on whoever is in front of them to do it for them.
Yeah.
I think is a really beautiful benefit of holding space. See how we found our way back home there?
I mean, you did all of it. You did all of the show your work, and I was just marveling at you.
But I do think it's time for us to take another class.
That would be so fun.
Yeah. Non-performance driven, just for the experience.
Yeah.
Because also, like, on any given day, you're going to be able to connect to your breath better or worse or whatever. There's just, judging it is such a waste of time.
That's judging everything.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I learned in therapy is the whole sentences. The whole podcast is me just going to start sentences. What I learned in therapy.
Love it.
Is like, when she was like, how do you feel? I'm like, bad. She's like, that's not an emotion. What's the emotion behind bad? And I'm like, embarrassed. And it's like, here we go. Now we're starting to like unlock things. Yeah. Because like we're so quick to say, I feel good, I feel bad. It's like, this is just window dressing to what's actually going on.
Right. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like, just like, let's get down to what's the note behind the note?
Yeah.
What's the actual source of how you're feeling? And that's where the work starts.
Yeah. Does she have you relate it to sensation in your body? So, yeah.
Wait, I
somatic.
Think it's is that what it's called? I was going to say it's called here and now. I don't know what it's actually. So I think that's what she
calls
it.
There are so many. I mean, there are so many methods and techniques. My therapist had such a difficult time, but she was so patient with me, helping me just reground and get into my body. Because have we talked about this? I was diagnosed with alexithymia.
I'm not sure if we have.
Okay, so alexithymia is the inability to literally feel what's happening in your body.
Whoa.
Emotionally, sensationally. So I was an actress who couldn't feel. And that was very hard to reconcile. And it, you know, it's funny to say out loud at first and ironic, but then I also felt like a fraud because I was trying to recreate these scenes with
chills all over my
with
body.
Meaning, but I felt like, you know, I don't know, something had hijacked my, I was completely numb. I was incapable of naming. And a lot of that for me stemmed from previous trauma of just like, that was my safe zone.
Yeah.
Turn off and numb out. But over many years, my therapist helped me start naming, you know, the simplest of the happiness. Happiness was actually the last to come. That was the scariest emotion for me to feel.
Yeah.
Because it was the idea that it might be ripped away or that it was fraudulent or that I was now vulnerable. I couldn't tell you how many times as a young person, having worked in an environment where I was rapidly adultified, I didn't want people to see me being happy because they might associate that with youthfulness and and therefore inadequacy, immaturity, vulnerability. And so, yeah, happiness was like, oof.
Wow.
And maybe that's why I was so intent on defining my purpose in life to be more than that, because it was like the last thing for me to even be able to grasp.
Right.
But I still found, you know, great meaning in all of the different chapters of life.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you, when you were learning how to name these feelings, how would you be able to know what it was if you had never felt it? Or
right.
Did you feel it in youth? And then as you grew up and kind of like gained these traumas, then you like shipped them away?
Yeah, I think that's some of it, returning to early memories. But for me, it was really, really uncomfortable and difficult. I mean, we're talking years. I spent, you know, hours with her every week just sitting there. And every time I wanted to answer, my logic kicked on because I would know, you know, rationally speaking, of course, this is what I'm feeling.
Right.
My, you know, I feel that there's some kind of tension in my body. Well, obviously, I'm nervous. And she would go, but do you feel it? And then I would want to cry, yeah. you know, but I also didn't want her to see me cry. And that's supposed to be the safest space to, you know, be vulnerable. And it was a tug of war. I mean, for years. And finally, I started doing some of these exercises on my own in my own room. And I think by allowing myself to take 45 minutes just to say, I think my chest feels compressed.
Yeah.
Or I think my teeth are clenched. I just noticed. It took me an hour.
Yeah.
But I just noticed my teeth are clenched. And then, you know, being able to start even going online and looking at like associations.
Yeah.
Okay, if this is happening, what does that mean? What does that mean? And then putting it together like I was learning a new language.
Right.
And it was so embarrassing, so humiliating because I was so capable and competent in other areas of my life.
Yeah.
I just never wanted people to know that I couldn't even tell them, you know, I'm feeling joyful. I'm feeling afraid.
Yeah.
I'm feeling insecure. And also, yeah, not even being able to recognize when people would say, you know, you're shaking right now. And I would have to look at my hands to notice that I was shaking.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a strange, completely out of body, literally experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. I could not even imagine.
Yeah.
So how long did you kind of have to learn that new vocabulary of how you're feeling and how your body is reacting to
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still very much learning. One thing that did crack me open was when I found myself attracted to a woman. I felt it viscerally more than I had with anyone else.
Oh, my God.
And that freaked me out. And that was absolutely, again, coming from the church, it was like,
yeah.
No, this right. is not when my body is going to decide to turn on. Like, you know,
yeah.
this can't happen.
Oh, that's so powerful, though.
But that's one of the reasons I knew I had to explore. And I'm not just saying on a relational or romantic level with her, but inwardly, what's happening now that I feel alive for the first time?
Yeah.
And how is this dynamic with someone actually, I'm coming online. Like I'm awake.
Right.
For the first time in so many ways. So that I think sort of cracked me open. And then over the last couple years, it's been about allowing my goals to not just be career oriented, and that they have to be health oriented goals,
yeah.
lifestyle oriented goals. Otherwise, there's no reason for me to ever be in my body. But also, I've now redirected the course of my career so that my success, so to speak, relies on me being healthy first, because I want to speak on these things that I myself am learning. I want to provide tools and resources. This morning, I had to message my team and say, I think I said yes to too many things. I apologize. I need to take these two specific items off my plate. And my body, for the first time in many weeks, was able to be like, okay, you're going to be able to handle this again.
Yeah.
But you went too far. And I'm very much like, practice what I preach. I have no interest in trying to inspire someone to do something I don't know myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself has been a major paradigm shift to where bringing everything I learned in therapy forward into my work
yep.
is a catalyst for better art, as opposed to, well, here's what I do on the side privately to just maintain my sanity
right.
so that I can go back into the industry and, you know, fight the huge battles. Like, no, now it's all integrated. It's synthesized for the first time in my life.
Right. And I think it's, you had just started, I don't know if maybe just, you can tell me how long you've been doing it, but it's a web series, right?
Yes.
So, and you've got titles like four ways to better your relationships how to love yourself in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Tell me everything. Cause I remember you posting on Instagram and I was like, this is perfect. I always get really excited when I feel like people have like unlatched their throne.
Yes.
And it feels like I feel that way about you. I feel that way about one of my other friends that does something kind of like vulnerable street art. And it's like,
ooh.
Oh my God, you would love it. Oh my God. Okay. We'll connect offline because we should do this too. But
yeah.
I got so excited when I saw you post the first episode and I watched it through. I was in Singapore and I had jet lag and I saw it and I was like, I'm so happy for Allison because it's everything that I know of you and it's everything that I also am going through and want to hear and want to aspire to because like, I mean, I could never get rid of all of my stuff, but like, that's so cool that you have all this space to just like feel and have only like good things be in your life. Tell me more about the show.
So
cool. So
the show is called Alchemy because I'm Allison. And each episode has an analogy and a challenge and a finale.
I love it.
Yeah, I was so excited when I came up with it. I was like, really wow, cool. Look at me combining, you know, commercialization with thoughtful, you know, provocative content. So Alchemy is about aligning all the parts of yourself and your life. It is about finding that wholeness, finding wellness and balance, but also expanding your awareness of what's happening on the planet and just creating time to be reflective. So in an episode, I provide you at the end with a quote, just something to ponder so that you can journal or you can let it, you know, you can stew on it while you're driving or riding, you know, the train or bus to work. And I've always been an inside out person. It's like I don't like to live outside in. I want simplicity and clarity inside. And I know from there, everything will find its path and place. And I had never really brought that intellectual or even spiritual kind of soulful component into my content because everyone was obsessed with me dancing and singing and acting. And I was so afraid that I would lose the audience, which I have, you know, you'll find a new one and whatever, but I wasn't interested in doing that whole like huge pivot. Like some of my peers kind of go for shock value and they try to, you know, prove that they're no longer who they once were. But they conveniently also have millions of dollars behind that rebrand.
Right.
Well, if I decided to reinvent myself, but I'm an independent creator, that means I'm starting from scratch.
Right.
And I don't have that kind of money to just toss my content in people's faces and say, you will like this. Let me just get this many impressions and then it'll click for you one day.
Mm-hmm.
So trusting that I myself was enough instead of the product of me was, you know, daunting.
Yeah.
But I reached a point in things happening in my personal life that were quite tragic and, you know, some betrayal and some really stuff that I'm putting into the book kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked myself, like, at what expense am I willing to keep up an image, even though dancing is not false, you know, singing is not a false identity. It's just a limited identity for me. Some people, when they go on stage, they go, this is the fullness of who I am.
Right.
And every time I got off stage, I would go, I really wish I could have just spoken directly to them during a workshop for an hour.
Oh, fine.
Like that would have been so much more in alignment with my deepest desire to connect and help people connect with themselves and other people and heal. And so, you know, I took all this information and I've had mentors my entire life, and I just never spoke about the wisdom they've shared with me. And so I'm infusing all of that into these, you know, 5 to 7 minute episodes. And it's that weekly dose of healing, reflection, joy, contemplation. And the response has been amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, at VidCon this year, the first person I encountered, she came up to me And she said, because of something you posted, I've now taken, you know, I took it upon myself to lose like, you know, 80 or 90 pounds of excessive weight. Wow. And I've changed my lifestyle. And that's what I want to hear. I don't, it's really kind to hear that I'm a good dancer, but that doesn't help you change your life. Yeah. I mean, it could maybe inspire you to do the same. And by you being great and excellent, they can. That's valid, totally valid. And still, hearing someone else empower themselves and not be more dependent on me, but actually more self-sufficient, that's the kind of result I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Because if we have a generation of people who are competent and capable, they know how to resource themselves in a system that is not always fair and equitable, then you're looking at creating your own opportunities. You're looking at changing the system inside out because the people themselves are coming in with different values. And that whole like grand scheme underneath, I think, is what drives me to kind of now hope to raise the public consciousness. Because I think people are aching for truth, too, and authenticity. And in our generation, especially like now that and younger, now that we have social media, we're able to see just beyond the veil of this whole thing that's been keeping us mindlessly, you know, watching the same, all of us watching the same one program on television. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we're getting past the story that everyone wanted us to buy. And there was a small group of people profiting off of it. And now it's like, I think we're on the brink of, you know, an ascension, transcending and including the previous, but then like letting go of some of this unhealthy, destructive stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that I love that that person said that to you because also like bringing it super full circle, it's like you're not doing the work for them and they're taking it upon themselves to do it. Mm-hmm. So it makes me so happy because that's one step of not being codependent on everyone, I think, is just like, well, that's the other thing, too. Like, we're all here together. Like, there's a saying that's like, no man's an island. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it alone.
No.
But you can't also have someone do it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a beautiful balance. And I really was the lone wolf for most of my life. So, yeah, I think seeing the power of community and then bringing that into my content, knowing first and foremost, everyone who follows me has information that I don't have, has something that they could teach the community. So how can we start having conversations in this community and pull from everyone's knowledge and vantage points? Like, that's far more fascinating than just one leader pretending to know everything, at least to me. And then second, the strength in community means I just want to be an ally in your transformation. I just want to help you in the way that I can. And when I can't, I would love to do enough research so that I can direct you maybe to some resources that might be more helpful for you. I don't need to be your guru. I don't need to be the expert. I am forever a student of life. However, because I've chosen to make this my livelihood, I may have the privilege and platform to be able to spend more time relentlessly, you know, scrutinizing material and looking for tools that maybe you don't, if in your 9-to-5 or in your taking care of multiple kids every day lifestyle, you might not have the chance to spend the 10 hours I am now, you know, figuring out how to do to find the answers,
right?
To get to therapy 3 times a week because you truly need it. So how can I kind of do some of the grunt work and then bring forward the best nuggets and say, like, if 5 minutes is all you have, that's all you need right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so, so cool. I want to also talk a little bit more about mentorship, but right after we take a quick break while Allison gives another piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Here we go with all of my questions about mentorship, because I've been looking to find someone to be a mentor, but how do you go about that?
Whoa. Okay. Do you know who you admire and would want to model your life or perspective after?
That's an interesting question, because the last time that someone was like, you should get a mentor, it was about career. Mm. So I've never really thought about like a spiritual mentor or somebody that, our lifelines align.
I have a creator coach now who is specifically for career, and for my needs, it involves a lot of like time management and prioritization more than like, what are my career goals? I'm like, I know what those are. How do I get there and do everything? And he's like, you don't. You say no. Anyways, so I have sort of that career leadership person. And then I have the spiritual mentor and leaders emerged when I started asking the questions I could not solve on my own. And for me, that stemmed from sexuality and reconciling, you know, scripture and what was happening in my life and blah, 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 blah. And so I actually went to the person I thought would be the most supportive at the time. She admitted she was unable to answer. She sent me to her mentor.
Oh.
And it was finally like kind of getting to, you know, the wizard behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And so it was just by me asking questions. I feel you'll start to notice the people who are and are not equipped to at least guide you to the books and the conferences or places that you can go to start breaking into that community, and you'll end up hearing similar names. You know, eventually you'll hear one name repeated a few times and you'll go, who is that? Let me Google them. And then if you want to, you can literally connect directly to them, send a direct message, even if it's not like, will you be my mentor? It's like, how does one find someone in your, you know, kind of environment? Or but I would be happy to also look through my Rolodex of people and connect you. But if you're looking for a mentor and you're listening to this and you're like, how do you do that? I would say pursue the one problem you were born to understand. And those questions will start illuminating the places people with answers might be.
Yeah.
And trust that you do have all the answers within already. And be like, dare to kind of override your logic about the methodical, you know, process of step one, get mentor, step two, be enlightened, and start just leaning into things that seem like they might in a roundabout way get you to where you're wanting to go.
Yeah.
Was any of that helpful?
Absolutely. I want to ask on the flip side now, like, what if someone, I wonder if people are listening, if anyone is coming to you to ask you for your guidance or mentorship, like, what's that like? I have a couple of people that have been through like 12-step programs, and it's like one of the first steps is find a sponsor.
Yeah.
So in a lot of times, the people that they want are either too busy or they just had kids, so they can't really be there for that person.
Or expensive.
Yeah. So I'm like, I wonder if you are kind of the person that's being sought out, how do you know that that is something that you can handle?
Yeah, I cannot handle the direct responsibility. I'm not qualified academically to treat or diagnose or cure anything. I can listen at face value, feel what they're sharing and then consider how much time I'm able to dedicate to finding someone who I can recommend to them. Mm. So I think a lot of my job as being sort of the bridge between someone who recognizes, I think I have a problem or an issue, sees an influencer or a public figure talking about it, and then goes, well, you know, I really need an expert, but I guess, she'll do as a starting point. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm sure you get to like DMs that are like, hey, I'm dealing with depression. I'm dealing with anxiety. What do I do? What do I do? First of all, I'm going to try and honor that information and implement as many enriching takeaways into my content so that they can find some solutions there. But then I'm also going to make time in my calendar to seek out people I trust and can interact with on a personal level, and then verify when someone asks, where do I go? I can say, you can go to the LA LGBT Center because I've been there. I've spent time with their counselors. I know where the money's going, and they have more, they can assist you even better than I can.
Yeah.
So starting to just see the village mentality, I think also takes some of the pressure off of you or me as individuals. And, you know, a lot of times people in peril or in like very desperate situations first are just looking for someone to coexist, like to share yeah. space. I was reading something about the suicide hotline and how a lot of the people who answer are not, psychologists or whatever, but they actually maybe statistically and don't quote me, but they might actually have a better probability of helping the person on the other line than someone who's so clinically.
Sure.
What do you call it? So clinically driven. That they maybe like take out some of just the
like the feeling the, and the, yeah, the real the like barren, gravitas of being a human of it.
Yeah, yeah. So don't underestimate yourself and your ability to offer someone support, but also it goes back to again the whole codependent thing that's like kind of threaded throughout this conversation. I'm not it will serve no one for me to try to serve everyone.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm about to remember that.
All right.
And add it to a quote card for my Instagram.
Yes, which I love those. Those are so great. Those are Thanks. So smart too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they serve a lot of purposes.
I love them. I love the kind of like wrap up question for journaling at the end of alchemy. I mm-hmm. really, it's so, how do you feel like you found your niche?
Like
you felt like you found it.
I will say that I am starting to feel like I don't have to be 12 people every day. Like I'm starting to feel like the woman who walks into every room during the course of all the different meetings in a day is the same woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, I've always prided myself on being chameleonic. I'm an actor. I can play whatever role you need. And I never had that intrinsic identity. And now I do feel like there's some sort of alignment happening. And as I'm trusting it, I'm saying no with more confidence and saying yes with more confidence. And the opportunities, I mean, I heard it told, you know, people told me this would happen, but I didn't understand it. And now I'm walking in it, that the opportunities, the audience, the things that come into your path will actually start reflecting that person and that goal that you have. But you have to define your vision before the world understands it.
Yeah.
And you, for a while, will have to stand in that vision as awkward, clumsy, and, you know, unsure as you might be. Just deepen those roots because eventually people will adapt. But, you know, of course, when you meet someone and they're one way, and then 5 years later, you run into them again, and they've changed, a part of you is disappointed because they're no longer who you wanted them to be or who yeah. they were the first time. But if you can allow someone to change and get behind their evolution and their journey, that's far more intriguing to me. And that's the, those are the kind of relationships I look for, people who are not glued to one version of who I am, but are like, I'm here for the soul. The soul is learning a lesson. You're going to take on a lot of different forms outwardly, but just like stay, you know, stay in that lane of what your soul needs to learn. And then also, you know, people who follow me who go, yeah, we know that you once were the girl from the Missy video, but we also know that you, you know, write music for an emotional intelligence development app. Like, you're more than that. That's, you know, that is like, ooh.
Yeah.
That, you know, that gives me a nice little buzz. My sober self.
That's the buzz.
That's my juice.
I love it. I think that, like, being there for someone in all the stages of their life is so fun. I had a boyfriend I dated when I was like 20, and we just recently connected after like 6 years of not talking.
Wow.
It was so, and it's happened for like two boyfriends like recently. And it's so nice because we've taken so much time apart and we've done the full on like no contact, don't like stalk their Instagrams. Right. They've gotten into relationships. I've been in my own. Mm-hmm. And then coming back and being like, wow, we are both different people now. Yeah. And like, we can understand how awesome we are now.
Yeah.
And it's so nice. And then like deep down, like every now and then they'll be just like intermittently just like, oh, that's kind of like you from 6 years ago. And that's really fun.
Right.
But on top of that, like, is like the same thing has been there like omnipresently is you being like a really good person, you really caring. Mm. Or like, I remember I just recently connected with one of these men now. They were boys before. They're tiny little boys. But now I could say this guy's a man, and that's incredible. And I was like, you're so deep now and you're so different, but the thing that's still the same about you is you're so good-hearted. And he was like, the same about you, you've always been so overly thoughtful. Not overly, but like his main thing was heart and my main thing was thoughtfulness. And it was like, that's so cool that no matter how many times we can change and evolve, the thing that still stays true to us is the thing that made us then.
And, okay, you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
I don't even know where I'm going. But there may be something about finding your calling and purpose if you can look at the track record of your life and see what those core elements are. Maybe using that core as your launching pad for every endeavor, because that is your... Yeah, that's your true kind of authentic expression, but also something that comes naturally that you can use to serve others, to contribute to, of course, find your own personal success if that's what you want. But maybe there's something there about, like, you know, if you're looking for an answer of what you're meant to do in this life, go revisit the track record of your relationships, connections, experiences, and find what that core element is that you had that, you know, helped the situation. Or even if it's a seemingly what do you call it? Negative is such a broad word, but quality, like, I notice that I'm really stubborn, or I notice that I'm really, you know, high strung and short tempered. Well, maybe there is something redeemable there that's actually a strength.
Right. Like, instead of stubbornness, maybe it's your steadfast nature. It's almost like reframing in a way,
totally.
Or just using it in as a power instead of a crutch.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if you're stubborn, then, you know, if you bring that into like social activism, social justice, then you're like, I will be relentless in defending this person who doesn't have a voice.
Right.
You know?
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good little journal exercise too. Almost like the different eras of your life and then just put like a couple words that describe like how you felt, how you were.
Yeah.
If you're still in contact with these people, maybe asking them like, give me one word to describe like how I was as a person in this moment.
Wow. Yeah.
Crazy. Because otherwise I wouldn't have, if he didn't tell me that I was thoughtful, I mean, I know I'm thoughtful, but like, that's not the first thing I would think.
Hmm.
I'd be like open or like warm or like inviting.
But how perfect then that you're doing a podcast that is full of thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Full of thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you, when you look at the projects and dreams and goals that you have, is thoughtfulness a part of it?
Absolutely. So this event that I, it, almost five steps ago when I was talking about the vulnerable street art, there's a in real life event called We're Not Really Strangers. And basically you go into this big room. It's like a penthouse in Hollywood, or it's different locations. And everyone gets a little card with a number, and then the strangers get paired into the same cards. And then you go through, it's a card game, but it's basically like a vulnerable, like open-ended question card game to connect and kind of reevaluate what's going on in your life. So like the first level is perception, then connection, then reflection. And the first question that me and my partner asked was, what do my shoes tell you about me? So it starts really like easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the very end, it's like, what feeling do you miss? What can I help you with? Or something like that.
Whoa.
I love it. You would love it. Yeah. I gave the card game to my old boyfriend, who's now a man, and now we're friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't realize he was deep. Like, I always knew he like felt a lot, but I never knew he was like really checking in himself and like leaning into like the sentient nature of like being.
Yeah.
And so I was like, here, you would love this. I don't know if he played it yet. He was a little gun shy when I was like, let's play it now. He's like, well, I don't know if I'm ready now.
Right, right, right.
I was like, take it. You can use these cards to also journal. It doesn't need to be a game. You can do it by yourself.
I love this.
Yeah.
Who created this game?
A girl named Corrine from We're Not Really Strangers. I'll give you, I bought like a bunch of extra games to give people that I really thought would like them. So I'll give you one.
Oh.
I think you would really like it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the thoughtfulness of it. Because it's something that I don't really ever think about because it's kind of inherent, which is like now my favorite thing because I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And she was like, the outfit I was wearing was like, so it's whatever I threw on, but it all like kind of made sense and was curated and stuff. And it was interesting to hear her say, it looks like you put thought into everything and everything makes sense as like a whole like thing. And then when my ex-boyfriend, now man friend, came over, he said the same thing about my house. He was like, everything's so intentional. And I was like, that makes sense.
Wow.
That checks out.
What a strength, yeah. Too.
It's so cool. What's your one thing that you think has been rampant and consistent through every era of your life through the evolution of Allison?
Curiosity.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I learned that from my therapist, actually. Because I started meeting with her, I mean, I think I was like 12 or 13, maybe I was a little older, but it was very early on. And and in every story that I shared or everything that I said, she'd go, what if we would just be curious about that? Oh, interesting. How curious. And because it immediately, you know, removes judgment.
Right.
And it allows room to just like exist in that and go, oh, that's interesting. Let's explore it instead of condemn it. And so I think curiosity and that desire to learn constantly is something that I'm now like bringing into my projects because I'm forcing myself, even by making Alchemy and my podcast Simplexity, I'm now, you know, saying, okay, I've got to learn new things so that I have new material to offer. And not only learn at just, you know, first read, but internalize, process, apply it and then talk about and then give feedback, which I think is maybe what I saw missing from a lot of advice, self-help-esque YouTube shows. It was like, the title says four ways you can have healthier relationships, but I'm not just reading a Psychology Today article and regurgitating. I'm, you know, bringing in information that spans Eastern and Western philosophy but simplifying it, of course. Like it's not about being unreachable. It's about just having more of a fuller bodied attack when you're trying to actually change your life instead of just, okay, I watched that video, but like nothing. There's nothing. I just watched it.
Yeah.
You know, like that's again why I added the contemplation, because I want people to find the joy in being curious about their own selves and lives and relationships.
Yeah. I think it's so smart. The way that you shoot it also feels really personal.
Oh, cool.
Compared to like something that just like a talking head tripod camera, exactly regurgitating something that they've already heard. But it's like, you also don't kind of dance with the jargon that's around in like new age philosophy and psychology.
I try.
And you do like a good job of like speaking directly to the viewer and like not using something that's so ostentatious that you can't like digest it.
Right.
And then it moves really nicely because of the camera movement, and then ending with like a question to contemplate. It's so smart. It's so well done.
Thank you.
I like it a lot.
It does feel like an amalgam of my film background, knowing like, okay, using a Steadicam and having movement in a shot, just first of all, is a little bit more entertaining to watch, and knowing like retention rate is a part of my job. Like, I need things to be visually and aesthetically pleasing so people want to see what I have to say. But then also, finding those locations, and you know, my own space is very minimal, so it would be very unappealing to just have a white wall and no furniture and nothing in the shot every time. So finding the location that feels like it matches the essence of the topic it's just like looking at it holistically. It's finally creatively energizing to make a show. And you know, I was in New York, and then I was taking the train to DC and back to New York, all in like, you know, an 18-hour period, and I was so eager to get on the train so that I could, you know, open up my friend's laptop, I don't have one of my own, and just write. Yeah. Write new episodes for Alchemy. Like, that is not how I, towards the end of auditioning and reading script after script after script and trying to, you know, bring to life someone else's writing. Like, after 20 years, I was like, all right, this is a load of garbage. But being able to write and then pause and Google something and then be like, let me find an interesting, creative way to explain this instead of just believe in yourself. It's like, how can we treat ourselves like a glass jar? And what would that, you know, cause us to discover if we were, you know, putting it in new terms? That's where I think you'll find new solutions. You'll find new ideas when you go, okay, you know, how can we look at this in a different way? I feel like I'm talking in circles, but here we are.
No, that's such a good thing to remember. How can we look at this a different way? Almost everything. Oh,
yeah. Everything.
Truly everything. It's funny because I Googled this because I thought it was so incredible. And then I heard that it was kind of restructured in a way to like feed the new age, not religion, but like just like the new age, like way of being. There's apparently a Chinese character that for crisis that means, you know what? I'm going to mess this up fully.
Okay.
But basically, imagine two Chinese characters, but together they mean a new word.
Okay,
like
got
a portmanteau for the Chinese language. But when you break them apart, it's opportunity and danger. Oh, that's what crisis is. So there it is. Full circle, we got there. So what they say is the Chinese character for crisis is half of it is opportunity and half of it is danger. So you have like you have an opportunity to do something with that danger. Huh. And it was so, I read about it and they were like, that's not really what it is, but like, it would be so cool if it was.
Right.
Essentially it is, if you kind of like strip away and like, it is that. And so I think it's so fun to say like, how else can I look at this?
Right.
If something bad happens to you, bad in your like experience of it, could just be good wrapped in like a different wrapping.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I think ultimately, of course, yes, you don't want to appropriate or exploit the original meaning and intention of a text or whatever. And so you always want to respect the, you know, the culture or the language associated. And also, both and, not either or, and words ultimately are the meaning that we give them. So if you can, if your heart was searching for an answer that day and it appeared in that form and you can take that lesson, then both and honor, you know, the truth of what the original writer was going for, and also take that lesson, even if it's a little bit like, that's not even, you know, when some people go to a movie and they're like, oh my god, that reminded me of, and they name something completely separate and you're like, that's what you got from that? And it's like, well, yeah, that's what was on my mind, that's what I'm sorting right now,
right?
This just happened to be the canvas upon which I was able to see it, you know, in this mixed media and these elements in this form, with fresh eyes.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah.
This life is so cool if you want it to be. You know? Because we could so easily be like, this is a movie is a movie and this chair is this chair. And it's right. like, well, no, it could be so much more than that. It's how you take it in. It's how it affects you. It's what makes you feel, which, wow, full circle at the very end was the 4-minute meditation yes. that I was talking about is all that there is in life is feeling and nothing else matters. Mm. And that whatever happens in between, like those moments that make you feel alive is just like your transition to the next moment where you remember that you're alive. And that's when you're feeling the most good or bad or otherwise.
Okay. Can I leave us with a 5-minute contemplation?
Yes.
Because you just mentioned pieces of furniture. And the first thing that came to mind was, have you ever traced back the journey of this table to back to the tree that it once was and look at things on a cellular level and how many different forms and shapes they've taken? So that it's really not just a table. There's been life lived. There's been, you know, a living and dying and rebirth and reform in this table. And eventually it will either end up in a landfill or it'll be in a new person's place. Or just thinking even about the clothes you're wearing right now, trace that back to the person who was making them. Under what conditions were they making the clothing that you just bought for, you know, whatever expensive or cheap price?
Right.
That is something definitely worth contemplating, is the interconnectedness of everything and the many, you know, forms that cells kind of take on in this world.
That could even be super interesting if you wanted to make it a 10-minute meditation to where when you go back to like the clothes you're wearing to the person that was making them
the gratitude.
compassion for what those people were going through, not even like what their surroundings were or what like their time period was, but like what were their hardships? Do they have a good relationship with their daughter? Could they not have kids? Mm. What was that like with their relationship with their parents? Like what are their main stresses? One of my main favorite things to do when I go into like a really populated place is to go like a Grand Central Market down in LA, downtown LA. It's like one of my favorite places to go. Everyone here is worried about something, but you can't tell. Everyone here would love, I said this to a person that I was with and they're like, you should write it down. And I don't think I did, but it was like everyone here could cry or smile the most that they ever have by just mentioning one person's name.
Wow.
And you didn't know who that person is.
Wow.
And they're just walking by, just pretending to be okay.
Yeah, wow.
Pretending not to miss this person.
Wow.
You know?
Okay, wait. Can I do one more?
Yes.
I promise it's worth it.
Okay.
This has changed my life. This is a practice that I use almost every day now. It's called I Am That. And I learned it through Neil Donald Walsh during a Mind Valley course on becoming a highly evolved being, of course, because you expect nothing less. Oh my God. Everyone knows me so well after this podcast.
No,
I feel
same.
Seen and heard and vulnerable. But basically it is modeled after seeing the interconnectedness of everything and every person. And as you pass by, you know, spend the next street you're walking on, as you pass by people, you know, look at them and you say, I am you. I am you.
Yes.
I am you. I am you.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you'll start to identify the parts of yourself that really do already connect. Like, oh, I am that person running to catch the bus because I was 5 minutes late. Oh, I am that mom who's trying to quiet her daughter down. I am that man who's laughing and giggling because he looks like he just fell in love with someone. I am the person who's asking for money because they lost their home. I am, I am, I am, I am. It cultivates compassion, but you just start to see how everything is one and the same, and I use it every day. Also, you'll find that if it's easier for you to say I am to certain people and certain things than others. For me, it was easier for me to relate to people who seemed like they were struggling or in lack. But then this beautiful model who looks just perfect walked down the street and I went, I am. Am I that beautiful mom? I don't know. And I went, ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because if I'm one thing, then I'm all things. So, you know, how come I haven't yet explored that space within myself of just saying, oh, I am beautiful. Yeah, of course I'm a, you know, of course I'm a 6'5" model repped by a Wilhelmina, you know, and have billboards everywhere. It's definitely worth exploring. You learn so much about yourself and others.
So much. That's the tire gauge exercise. Oh, okay, basically. Great. Yeah, like when the same thing we're talking about in the beginning of this
wow.
is right when it stops, you're like, oh, let's explore this. Let's, how else can we frame that? How can we look at that?
Yeah.
Oh, this is something that I need to digest or that I haven't really, you know, accepted in myself.
I mean, the lesson in all of this is just have space to feel, slow down so you can process, because there's so much to every moment.
I know.
Yeah.
I just want to keep on adding, but we truly can't anymore. This has been so fun. And we definitely.
Same time next decade?
Yes. Where can people find you and watch Alchemy and everything, Allison?
Yeah. So follow me on Instagram is probably the best for multiple daily posts. Self-love, inspiration, mental health. That's A-L-Y-S-O-N, stoner. You know how to spell it. Don't act like you don't. And then my YouTube. If you just YouTube my name, you'll find my channel, The Real Allison Stoner. And my podcast, Simplexity, will also be everywhere. It's launching this fall. And
yay!
You'll have to come visit.
Oh, my God.
This will be the part
to.
Two.
Yes. I would do a part 5, 6, 7, infinity.
Eventually, we'll have to do something together.
This is, it's so much fun.
Even like a book club.
Yeah. I think it's so, so special. I'm so like, I feel like everyone listening, it's like such a gift because I think there's a lot in this episode.
Good, good.
That is really helpful. Oh my God.
It was helpful for me, so thanks.
Me too. I feel alive.
Good. I'm also tired and could nap. But you know, that's when you know it really counts.
Yeah. Well, let's all take a nap after this. If you guys have a sticky situation or burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. I know we didn't get to a question this time, but that's okay because this is so much better.
I'll answer it in like a story or I can send you an answer, a written answer for a post or something.
Oh my God, how sweet.
We didn't even do the questions.
It's okay. Here's one question for everyone listening.
Okay.
What piece of advice would you give your younger self?
Oh my word. You're gonna ask me that right now?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Oh,
we'll end right after. I'll play the 4-minute meditation song right after you
answer.
Okay.
So trust that the parts of yourself that society and your, you know, school and work environment are kind of trying to hide are precisely the qualities and gifts and components of your personality and your potential that will not only separate you in a positive way, but also lead to innovative ideas that will affect the world, because those are the things that are, different from the current thing. So poorly articulated. I had so many words going on in my head. But also, I just want to hug her, too.
Yeah.
I just want her to know she's okay and that I love her. When I imagined my future self, I think I just saw this really powerful, powerful woman. And I'm not sure I ever pictured my future self as being compassionate toward my younger self. So if she could know that I really have a fondness for her and I think she's awesome, that would be cool.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. I want to hug younger you.
Yeah,
and you now.
Same.
Okay, I'm going to go give a hug while you listening, try the 4-minute meditation right now. I'm just going to play this song. And if you don't know every fourth count, just like every time you hear a new sound, try to think of a new memory that made you feel the most alive. All feeling. Here we go. Lovers that went wrong. We are the reckless, we are the wild youth, chasing visions of our futures. One day we'll reveal the truth, the one will die before he gets there. And if you're still you're the lucky ones, 'cause most of our fears, they are dead and they are gone, set on fire.
inside your front, collecting pictures from the flight, break time, so flight, break time. You caused it. You caused it. You caused it. You caused it.
How beautiful. That was not 4 minutes, but if you want more of it, it's called Youth by HAUX. Play that on repeat and live again your best parts of your life.
Yeah.
Cute. Thank you, Allison. This
Thanks.
Has been so wholesome. let's
on
connect
brand.
Offline.
Yeah, sounds good.
Bye.
See you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.